We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. This is Coach Speak on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome live from the Elo Fiber Studios. This is Coach Speak. We are brought to you by Buildings by Design. Rent is going through the roof, and for many people, building their own office space, shop, or house is more affordable. That's where Buildings by Design come in. Get a hold of them at buildingsbydesign.com and check out some of their great projects they've completed on Facebook. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone. May 5th. And as we roll around May 5th, some outstanding baseball action last night. We have a lot of track action going on. Lacrosse, girls soccer, just to name a few of the things. And we're excited to have with us right out of the chute today on Coach Speak, Chris Abshire, the great journalist from the Coloradoan, and covers the prep sports like no one else over in that area. Some tremendous athletes and performances going on. Chris, how we doing today?
Oh, wow, Bruce. Quite an intro. I appreciate that. But yeah, happy to be joining you right out of the chute. Should be a fun time. I think we're going to do a couple segments.
We are. We're making you stick around. We're going to take, you know, half your morning today, you know. So, but anyway, we really enjoy and appreciate you being with us. But, man, there is a lot of action going on in our high school scene right now here in northern Colorado, specifically your area that you cover, Fort Collins, Windsor, and throughout the state. There's just been some great performances. But let's start, I guess, Chris. I was over, just saw as much of the game as I could before I had to leave between Poudre and Fort Collins yesterday, and this was a very meaningful RPI game as Poudre was in the kind of the mid-30s going in. Fort Collins was as high as 29, and as I look at RPI this morning, the Lampkins fell to 32, Poudre's up to 31 based on that impressive 2-1 victory last night. Tell us about that and your thoughts on the entire Fort Collins baseball scene.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was, like you said, huge matchup last night for RPI purposes. Poudre getting the win, I mean, that was crucial because if Collins gets that win, it's very likely they, you know, pretty much cement their place. There's still a few weeks left, but Poudre, if they had not been able to get that win, I'm not sure they would have been able to get into the playoffs, but they had a walk-off win earlier this week on a bunt as well. So an impressive week for the Impalas. You know, they started strong, kind of hit a bit of a mid-season lull, but now they're right back in that playoff picture. But what's fascinating to me, and I'm curious if there's any chance Chassa might manipulate some seedings or rankings, because they had to do this in basketball, actually, as well, with your Fort Collins team in Rocky Mountain, is it's very possible Rocky Mountain's going to end up with a, you know, maybe a 1 seed, a 2 seed, and if Fort Collins or Poudre are in that 31-32 range, that would slot them in the regional if they don't manipulate the rankings. So that's fascinating to me there.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I think a lot of it depends, Chris, on how many front range teams get in. Because, honestly, I think there could be more than 8. I mean, that's possible, I guess. And it's just a tremendous baseball league at the 5A level. But you're right. Rocky's kind of been that 1-2-3 mark, you know, RPI. And yep, they got a nice win yesterday as well.
Absolutely. You know, Rocky, they kind of bounced back a little bit. They've been a bit of a swoon, had a few ties, a few losses recently. Yeah, like you said, fell all the way to number 3 in the seeding index. I say all the way to number 3.
Yeah.
I
mean, that's just a fall from there's about 62 other teams that would say, wish we could fall to number 3.
Exactly. But no, this is a vintage Lobo team. You know, Coach Bullock over there has got this team looking like another state title contender. Obviously, Rocky is one, you know, had that run over a decade, winning 6 state championships. Mighty impressive again this year. Really looking forward to this weekend, Bruce. We get some fun games. Fossil Ridge plays Pooter on Saturday morning, and then Saturday afternoon we have kind of an annual classic, if you will. It'll be Rocky Mountain versus Fort Collins in City Park. That's always a really cool atmosphere, really cool setting for that rivalry matchup. So Fort Collins really needs that win. They're the only program in the city to beat Rocky Mountain over the last decade.
That's just an amazing statement, Chris, over the last decade, because there's been some, you know, Pooter's had some decent teams, Fossil's had some, you know, teams and athletes that you think that just one of those times they could pull the upset, but it hasn't happened, has it?
You would think the only time it happened was 2 years ago in 2021 in the same City Park game with Fort Collins and Rocky Mountain. Fort Collins won a tight one in that. That's the only time, you know, Kevin Lytle, my colleague, and I have talked about it. He was kind of our preps reporter, you know, up until the past few years. And he's mentioned it before. It's been a case sometimes in the city where the you know, Rocky just puts on that uniform, and that's enough to win a game sometimes against city competition. You know, I saw it to a certain extent earlier this season when Rocky and Pooter played. That game was a tight 2-2 game in the fifth inning. Pooter botches a two-out ground ball to first base. Easy play. They mess it up. Runner gets on base. Boom. Two-run homer for the Lobos. They score 9 in a row over the next 2 innings. Looks like a blowout at 11-2, but that was just a case of, you know, sometimes that Rocky aura, that Rocky mystique just gets it done.
And, boy, how many times is a, you know, a booted ground ball or an errant throw or a foul ball in fly ball and foul territory not caught, and then it just creates havoc. It starts a rally.
It always seems like that, doesn't it, Bruce? I mean, if we're taking it, you know, to the hardwood and, you know, the sport you coach, how many times when you miss a bunny layup on the other end do they hit a big three-pointer, you know, or get a key foul called on one of your players? I mean, it just always seems like there's kind of momentum plays, especially at the high school level. And you know this as well, when you're dealing with teenagers, those momentum plays can be huge.
Yeah, and Chris, before we move on to other sports, I wanted to get back to that game last night over at Fort Collins. Christian Etzel was fantastic on the mound for the Impalas.
Absolutely, and Christian's one of the best local pitchers we have here in town, you know, right up there with some of the great arms we have over there with, you know, Easton Miller at Fossil Ridge. I mean, he's been impressive all season. One of the reasons why Pooter has been able to, you know, really stay in playoff contention, and yeah, I mean, that Fort Collins lineup, very dynamic. To do what he did and hold them down to one run last night, I mean, that's coming up big in an important moment for his team. Not, you know, he's not just a good pitcher. He's been clutch all season.
And a manufactured win for the Impalas. They utilized the bunt. You know, they utilized getting that extra base. And just, they'd got two, and that just was enough yesterday.
Absolutely. Well, and that's going to be the formula for the Impalas, because I don't think against a lot of the higher-tier 5A competition, they're going to come out and slug, you know, 7-8 runs on you. I mean, you saw it earlier in the week with their walk-off win. It was also a 2-1 game as well. Same exact scenario. They had a walk-off win on the bunt.
Yeah.
You know, laid down a squeeze bunt with a runner on third base, caught the other team totally by surprise. Who bunts in the winning run? Even in high school, that doesn't happen.
Well, so, and you can tell how much they work on it, because just the execution that they display, and it goes game to game. So if they get in a tight one, they are a team that could knock somebody off. And I'm just hoping that all four of those Collins teams gets into that top 32.
Absolutely. That would make for a really fun postseason. I'd have to go look it up for sure, but it's been at least, oh gosh, I mean, it's been a while since Pooter's been able to make the field, so it would be at least 5 to 7 years since the last time all four Collins teams have made the field.
Yeah, and with both of them, you know, with all three of the teams playing Rocky, win or lose, that helps their RPI.
Absolutely, and that's, I mean, that, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about the downside of playing Rocky, but when they're up like they are this year, you know, a state title contender, you get sort of, you know, the added benefit of, hey, you give them your best shot. If you don't win, still get some RPI benefit out of it.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, let's do this. CPR 4x4. Did you know that more people get married in June than any other month? CRP can't help you with your wedding plans, but they can get the tow hitch on your vehicle to haul the boat or camper this summer. Visit them at CRP4x4.com. Chris, let's take a break and let's come back and let's talk track, soccer, lacrosse, man, open topics. But we have a lot to cover and we will be back after these messages. Welcome back to Coach Speak. Hey, I don't have to tell all you farmers and ranchers out there how important water is. Farming season right around the corner, and if you want to get the most out of your water this summer, get in contact with Quality Well and Pump, Colorado's only full-service irrigation company. Online at qualitywellandpump.com. Would welcome your texts if you have a question for Chris. Please text us at the Mosier Funeral and Cremation text line at 888-530-0043. And with us still is Chris Abshire from the Colorado. And Chris, so many great performances going on. Where do you want to go? Do you want to start track and field? Do you want to start lacrosse? Where do you want to start?
Let's start track and field.
It's been a
record-setting season.
Man, no kidding.
In a lot of respects for our local athletes. If you read, you know, weekly, we have a NOCO 9 column that I put out that kind of recaps some of the best that's happening in local high school sports. And it feels like every week I'm putting in a new, you know, whether it's a relay record, whether it's funny you mentioned Mosier as one of your sponsors in that last segment, because Marcus Mosier over at Fossil Ridge, he's only a sophomore, but he has three times over now set the school record this year in the 200 meters. Just really impressive there. Their relay team is 4x100 girls, have had the best in the state. The Pooter 4x100 girls just set a new school PR this week. It has been a really fun season on the track so far, Bruce.
Well, we got the high jumpers, Joe Cottingham.
Absolutely, and you're quite familiar with him.
Yes, I am.
Bruce.
So I have to throw Joe's name out there, man. Got to give Joe a little airtime.
Oh, of course, and absolutely. And we're planning over to Colorado and to have something on him in the next couple weeks before state track and field, which, by the way, is just if you're a sports fan, even if you're not a huge track fan, would highly recommend checking out the Colorado High School State Track and Field Championships. 3-day spectacle over in Jeffco Stadium in Lakewood. It is always, I mean, just the buzz, the atmosphere is always super fun. But anyway, that's just an aside.
And Chris, staying on that topic of the state track meet, I think it is so fun to be at Jeffco and just to watch all the classifications. There's just nothing like it, because you compare, you know, they do a great job of putting things up on the scoreboard, and you see exactly the placement of kids and their times or their performances, and you can look at, you know, the 5A marks, and then you can look at the 3A marks, and once in a while you're going to see, wow, that 1A or 2A kid, he outperformed everybody. You know, and it's just fun to see it. And there's, you know, in the 5A classification, you know, in every event, it's so competitive. It's I think it's the best ran event in high school sports.
I would agree with that. I mean, the only one I think that might give it a true run for its money is state wrestling. But what they both have in common is they're very much controlled chaos, if you will. I mean, you mentioned on the track, they have to do a great job with the scoreboard letting you know, because, I mean, at any given time, you know, you've got field events going on both sides of the track. In the middle, you have athletes warming up, then you have sprints or, you know, distance runs happening on the track at any given time. So, I mean, it's fun to try to keep up with. And yeah, you mentioned sometimes you get surprised by those lower classifications. That happens fairly consistently for some of our local teams. Liberty Common is back-to-back 3A champs in both boys, in girls. You know, they've been a really strong team. They have a few athletes who stack up with 5A's best. We saw it at the city meet, last month. Same for Heritage Christian. You know, they have a few great athletes. They've been 1A champs, 2 years running. They're going to be in 2A this year. They have a runner, distance runner, Jack Nauman. He won the cross country state title last fall. He's a CU Boulder commit as a cross country runner. So, I mean, he's more than capable of competing with those 4A, 5A athletes. And yeah, I mean, it is just complete controlled chaos out there at the track meet.
Well, you mentioned the CU commit. You know, there's kids over at Collins that have committed to Princeton, committed to Duke. I mean, it's just big-time programs that a lot of these athletes are, you know, going on to perform at the next level.
It's really not a surprise when you think about it. I mean, especially over at Fort Collins High School, what an amazing track and field and, you know, running tradition there is over there at Fort Collins. And, yeah, Christian Grondyke going to Princeton. What a fall he had. I mean, that was unbelievable in cross country. You know, he had an unbeaten season, won 7 events. All 7 events he entered, including the state championship, an unbeaten senior season. We've talked with him before. My colleague Kelly Lyle did a great feature on him. And he's really picked it up in the back half of this track and field season. Last week he set, his own PR, won the event against some of the best in the state, at the Stuttler Twilight. In the distance runs on the track, Collins is going to have some strong runners between him and then Ella Johns on the girls' side.
Sure. No, Ella's, they're just special, special athletes. Anybody else you want to mention, Chris, in track and field right now?
Well, you know, it's been a really good season for, the Fossil Ridge team. They were able to upend Fort Collins finally, first time in 14 years.
I was going to say, has it been 14 years?
Yeah, that's correct. Well, there were 2 years where the city meet didn't happen either because of weather or the COVID season. But 12 in a row, 14 years since our last city title team winner that wasn't Fort Collins boys or Fort Collins girls. This year, Fossil Ridge swept both of them. And one place to look for Fossil Ridge is really over in the field events, especially in the throws.
Yeah.
They're really strong there on both the girls and boys side. And Mac Busteed, he's a three-sport standout there. I mean, he was a key bench player for the Fossil Ridge basketball team that finished runner-up. He was a great football wide receiver. He's a Lindenwood commit there. But he also is probably the favorite in 5A shot put this year.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Then if he's not the favorite in discus, he's either 1A or right behind the leader there. So look for Mac Busteed to make some noise at state later this month.
Well, and how great is it to see kids like Busteed and Cottingham, three-sport guys, football, basketball, track, and not just three-sport guy participants. They're just really good.
Absolutely.
You know, put an event and put a sport in front of them, and they just are, they're good.
Bruce, it's pretty amazing to me because I'll tell you what, I was never that driven. I could never manage my time that well when I was in high school. You know, I love to play sports and all that, but I feel like I got focused down in high school to the one or two that I enjoyed. But, you know, these guys all year round, and you see this, you know, across the board. I mean, even for girls, you get a bunch of girls who play soccer and track right now over at Rocky Mountain. There's multiple that are running track and playing soccer at the same time, sometimes on the same day and the same weekend. So I love to see, you know, kids really kind of testing themselves across the board, you know, and it really shows how much they love these sports they're competing in.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun to see a baseball player, and there's not many of them, but there's a few in the state that'll take the uniform off and go run track.
And, you know, then you throw in the added layer. We were talking about the state track meet. Every year, it's always such a fun song and dance, too. And this is not about playing across multiple sports, but that's the same weekend every year as graduation.
You know, we have yet to figure that out. And yeah. It's just mind-boggling to me that the state track meet, it is the same time every year. And yep, why absolutely. Can we not move a graduation to where it is not during that state track meet?
Well, the problem, Bruce, the calendar is the calendar, unfortunately, sometimes. So, you know, different entities with different priorities.
Now, Chris, we were both high school athletes. Would there be any doubt on which we would attend if it was a state sporting event or graduation? Now, I'm all in on the sporting event. I can go pick up that diploma. Is it important? Absolutely. But for most of the kids, there's going to be more diplomas.
I will say this, Bruce. I think it would be highly context-dependent. Am I a serious contender first in my event, or is my team a serious contender?
There you go.
Then I think I'm leaning the sports route. If, you know, maybe I'm realistic with myself and you know, I am like I was in high school and not a serious title contender, then I might lean toward the graduation.
That's a great decision for kids to have to make because they're at the top of their, you know, their performances. But, hey, let's talk girls soccer, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Holy cow. Where do we start and where do we probably don't have time to finish, but, you know, let's cover some of that.
Well, we have to start. I mean, what a week for you know, two city teams here in Fort Collins. Broomfield entered this week number one in the ratings, unbeaten. They played some crossover league matches with Rocky Mountain and Fossil Ridge this week. Rocky Mountain and Fossil won both of them. Rocky won in double overtime. Fossil won last night 3-1. Fossil Ridge has now jumped up to number one in the seeding index in 5A with no games left to play. I find it hard to believe that they're going to drop out of that top spot, which that's going to be huge for them. They did finally drop their first game of the season earlier this week against Legacy in one of those crossover games, but Legacy's number four in the state. It was a road game. They lost by one goal. So Fossil Ridge, I mean, they have been arguably the most consistent, most impressive team in 5A this year. You know, I think in soccer there's enough variance that I wouldn't declare them an outright favorite, but I would say they're in that pool of 3 to 4 teams that are favorites to win the state title right now.
Well, absolutely, and we talk about, you know, the league baseball is in the front range. Look at girls soccer. I mean, you just mentioned, you know, Fossil, Rocky, Broomfield, Legacy. All top teams.
There,
yeah.
It is a war, and even then, you know, the other city teams this year really acquitted themselves well. Fort Collins is playing almost entirely freshmen and sophomores. Second year in a row, they've been a really young team. They're hovering around that number 20 range in the seeding. They're going to have to go on the road in the first round, but I love what I'm seeing over there. I mean, young team that I think the next 2 years is really going to grow a lot. And then Pooter, first-year coach over there, traditionally hasn't been a great girls soccer program, but they're hovering right around the playoff range. Would be their first playoff appearance in, I believe, 5 years at this point. So yeah, it never lets up. You know, Fossil Ridge was able to sweep the city this year. Extra impressive there. No one even, let's see, I think Rocky got a late goal. They were the only team to score a goal in the city on them this year.
Wow, that's incredible. Hey, let's give a little shout out to Timnath and Wellington, man. These two schools were faced, you know, with starting at the varsity level, even though it's lower classifications. But when you're playing freshmen, sophomores, and mostly freshmen against junior seniors, it doesn't always work out in the win column. But you know what? That baseball team's hung in there a little bit, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, I would say it's you know, in baseball and girls soccer, Timnath and Wellington, you know, in one sport they've been really good, the other they haven't been as good. In girls soccer, Timnath, they're going to make the playoffs this year in year one, kind of joining their basketball program, which was an impressive run back in the winter. I think right now they're about 20th or so in the seeding index. Addison Garrett, Natalie Washburn for Timnath have been really good, kind of been their 1-2 scoring punch offensively. It's been really impressive with a freshman and sophomore only roster, already being a 3A playoff team. And then you flip over to the Diamond. Wellington is right there. They're in the mid-20s. They're going to make the playoffs in year one for baseball, which is very hard to do in a sport like baseball if you don't have any veteran leadership, any experience, especially when you're throwing kids out there on the mound. So, like you said, got to give a shout-out to those two. If you can make the playoffs with, only underclassmen on your roster, that's really a testament to the coaching job that's being done over there.
Boy, it is. And, I wasn't sure Fort Collins was big enough to support six high schools. To get them, to state level, it's going to be interesting to see, Chris, just the effect the two new schools have on athletics throughout the, city moving forward, because there have been a lot of underclassmen obviously lost by other schools, but it creates an interesting scenario.
Absolutely. Well, Bruce, there's already, there's a lot of sports over at Pooter that for the next Chassa cycle are looking at being a classification down, including football. They'll be in 4A because they're getting, hit pretty hard by a lot of students in the North Fort Collins area, going to Wellington. So Pooter's numbers are dwindling a little bit there. Even if you get outside of the city a little bit, Windsor's kind of being squeezed on all sides at this point. Severance opened 5 years ago. You've got Timnath opening up now. Windsor Charter Academy's on the scene as well. I'm fascinated to see, I believe Windsor's even moving down a classification in the next football cycle. So like you said, this is going to have some domino effects, these new schools opening up. Even probably for Fossil Ridge and Fort Collins over there on the east side of town.
Hey, with Tim. Exactly right. Hey, before I let you go, Cameron Thomas? Pole vaulter at Windsor. I had a chance to just, watch him a little bit last Saturday out at the Weld County Championships, and obviously he's representing Windsor High School. This kid can vault, Chris.
Absolutely. Well, and there's something about the name Thomas locally too, because over at Pooter we've got this kid Jones Thomas, who's a great jumper and hurdler as well. So no, but Cameron over there, he was one of our athletes to watch before the season in track and field, and he's only lived up to that. I mean, he was a key part of, a couple weeks ago Pooter had a second place boys finish at the Pomona Invitational. That was really impressive, kind of a premier event. He has, I believe, his jumps are either second or third in the state right now. He's going to be one that, I'm not going to say sneak up on people at state, because people know that he's really good. But, yeah, when you watch him, boy, his leaping ability is just impressive. If he were in the proverbial basketball gym, he would be able to leap out of it.
Yeah, so. I get you, man. I get you. What impressed me from Cameron, he's only vaulted 2 years. He started.
Right. He's new to him.
It's so new. So much credit has to go to the track program at Windsor, because they're kind of looking for events for him. And Coach Roth, I think it is, the pole vault coach, says, let's come over. Let's give this a shot. Let's just see what happens. Let's try. And a year later, 17 foot.
Yes, 17 feet is just unbelievable. That would place you right up there in the, as we were talking about earlier, in the 5A top five.
Sure.
Right up there. He's right up there with, some of the best pole vaulters in the state right now.
Nation.
Yes, exactly. And like you said, he's really only just kind of tapping that potential he has in year two of doing this event. So I'm excited to see. I believe he's only a junior.
He is.
I cannot remember.
I believe he is.
Yeah,
I'll have to double check, but I know he started vaulting a year ago.
So if he has another year under his belt, the rest of Colorado needs to watch out.
Let's quickly go lacrosse, Chris.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, over here in Fort Collins, we have the PSD schools. You know, in girls and boys, we just have the PSD district team. But they're both having really solid seasons, in line to host first-round playoff games. The girls right now are number 7 in a potential 16-seed bracket. If they win their game this weekend, which is their final regular season game, I think they would lock that, you know, sort of first-round home playoff game in. And then over on the boys' side, they're number 11 right now. But they would also host in the first round because it's a 24-team bracket.
So is that what it is? That was my next question. I didn't know if they went 32, but they go 24. So now, do the top 8 get a bye?
The top 8 do get a bye. Now, you know, obviously, you know, PSD is unlikely to get that. They have one regular season game left as well on the boys' side. Unlikely they'll move up into that top 8 from number 11, but they would still be in line to – you know, be able to get that first-round home playoff game. And then last year, they were in a similar position. They were a 7 seed, made it all the way to the semifinals, upset traditional power Cherry Creek down there on the road. So even if Will Cantwell, who's the coach over there, even if his team has to go on the road, you know, they proved it last year. They're not going to be scared. Both of these teams easily have semifinal potential. And you never know. I mean, both of them have proven they can play with the top level of Colorado lacrosse. So whatever they do in the postseason would not surprise me.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, Chris, we haven't covered everything, but we got a lot of information. This is Chris Abshire from the Colorado, and can't thank you enough for joining us.
Absolutely, Bruce. I appreciate you having me on.
And as state competition, you know, gets here, we will do this again. We'll be in contact. And thanks again, Chris. And what are you covering this weekend, real quick?
This weekend, we're actually covering the PSC boys volleyball team. Just their second year as a program. They've got a home regional as the number 7 seed in the state bracket there. If they win, they're moving on to state the following weekend. And then Kevin Lytle, my colleague, he'll also be out at that City Park baseball game with Rocky and Pooter.
Gotcha.
Rocky and Fort Collins.
Be a lot of fun stuff. That is Chris Abshire from the Colorado, and we thank him so much for joining us. Road trip is here, and you need to make sure your car is prepared. AMCO of Fort Collins and Loveland is here to help. Next, we will have Walker Martin with us from the Eaton Reds. Welcome back to Coach Speak. Wow, it was great just talking about so many different young athletes with Crib Abshire of the Colorado, and what a great job he does covering the prep scene. For you weekend track athletes, if you've been a little injured, go visit our friends over at Proactive, and they will take care of you. Maybe you've been injured on the job site or being a weekend warrior, but not serious enough to get surgery. Make the pain go away at Proactive. Visit them online at proactivecolorado.com. Well, we're going from covering that Fort Collins area in baseball and all these other sporting events, but people have said, when are you going to get Walker Martin on? You haven't had Walker on yet this year. Well, today's the day. Walker Martin, how are you, man?
How are you, Coach?
I'm doing good. We are talking with Walker Martin, the fine shortstop of the Eaton Reds. And, man, this season, it's kind of flown by, Walker. Your perspective as a senior now, how fast has this season gone by for you?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember the first game. It's gone by that quick. So, I mean, I'm just having fun with it. But, no, sadly, it's flying by quick, which sucks, but I mean, can't help that. I'm just having fun. It's been a ton of fun playing my last season with these boys, and riding it out for sure.
Well, you guys have such a great community and great bond, but let's just remind our audience that maybe doesn't keep track daily, you know, like we do here about the Eaton Reds, but obviously you guys are undefeated. You're ranked number one in the state, and you're depending on where you look, you're number one, number two in all classifications in Colorado, but you are hitting at a 655 clip. Walker, 70 RBIs, 16 home runs, and to some people, those might just be numbers, but let me remind our audience, the 16 home runs leads the nation in high school baseball.
Yeah, I'm blessed and fortunate to have it. Obviously, I've been getting some good pitches ahead, but no, I've just been having fun, taking the same approach, and yeah, a lot of them have been going over the fence this year, which is awesome. So,
hey, Walker, tell us about your daily hitting routine. You know, everybody has a little different routine. I know you guys probably do certain things together as a team, but when it comes to daily hitting and working on your hitting, what's there for Walker Martin on a daily basis?
Yeah, so daily basis, I mean, when we go through our practice, we usually do a lot of key work, get that going, and then a lot of just on-field hitting, which is nice. I get to see ball flight, which is helpful for hitters. I mean, when I'm on for some or any, like, I could talk for other hitters too. I mean, we go through it sometimes, and all it needs is just on-field BP, and we do a lot of it. So that helps. But we get to see ball flight, which is good. But we really just focus on hitting line drives to the power alleys, which is what we preach in our hitting. So it's a home run. So just try to hit it.
And you talk about hitting those line drives and using the entire field. You do a great job of that. Obviously, as you go up levels, you're going to see, you know, more guys in the high 80s, the 90s, and things like that. So just how important is it to learn to hit using the entire field?
Yeah, it's really important, especially when you get older and the pitching gets better. And when you start traveling, you see live arms, better velocities, better breaking balls, off speed. So it's important to be able to work all fields. Really, if you're thinking just hitting it to a pull side, I mean, that's when I personally tend to roll over, pop up, and pull off those pitches I know I can hit to the left side of the field. So hitting opposite field is key for me because it just helps me stay within myself. And once I do get an inside pitch, I'm able to turn and burn on it.
Sure, absolutely. Hey, not everybody's a baseball nerd like I am, Walker, but I just totally, obviously I do loving you, watching you hit and things like that, but I love watching the lateral movement, the fundamentals of playing shortstop and infield. You made a play earlier this season, and I can't remember who it was, but everybody in the stands and everybody on both dugouts, you know, thought it was a sure base hit, and you went into the alley and got the ball and flipped it to second base. You made it look so routine, but your defense, I think, is, you know, what kind of somewhat puts you over the hump, too, is getting to that next level. Tell us about, number one, you obviously love it because you're so good at it, but tell us that just the work you put in defensively.
No, definitely. I mean, Coach Hernandez, he puts us middle infielders and third baseman and our corner guys through it every practice. We take ground balls, work on fundamental stuff, fundamental feeds, the second base on double plays, footwork, which is important. I mean, you can't look down on the little things because those little things are what's going to get you. So we do a lot of that stuff. I mean, just funneling, a lot of funnels, short hops through practice, and just honestly taking a lot of live ground balls off the bat when we're taking BP. We all go to our positions and work on it. So that's really important for especially when you get older. I mean, definitely when whatever level it takes me, I'm gonna have to take it. More repetition is key.
Yeah, and Walker, I was going to say, you mentioned footwork, and that is so important. I mean, obviously, if, for an infielder, the lateral movement, you know, going both directions and charging the ball on slow rollers. But if you were talking to a bunch of 7 and 8 year olds, how important would you say footwork is in your daily work?
I'd say it's probably the most important thing. Honestly, I mean, I definitely, when I was getting coached up this summer and just realizing that it's like you need to know, like, situationally, like what type of runner is up to play and what's going to happen, like where they're going to hit it most likely, and like when you need to get the ball out and throw it. I mean, if you need to get out quick or you can take your time, take a few gather steps. So that's important. I've been really working on that this offseason, and it's been helping me out a lot, definitely, especially with these quick runners. I mean, you need to get it out of the glove quick and make a strong throw over. So, I mean, I tell all these little kids just to work on it. I mean, don't take it for granted, because that's what's going to separate yourself from the from everybody else when once time flies by and you get older. So that's what I'd have to say to those little kids out there listening right now.
Well, let's talk about playoffs a little bit. They're right around the corner. You guys have 4 regular season games left. You finished playing Mountain View in a non-league game and getting ready for the playoffs. But you guys haven't been challenged yet. Are you looking forward to the playoffs where you say, you know what, we're going to have some really good games coming up?
Definitely. I mean, there's been some times where we've been caught in situations where we had to come back, like where we had to battle through it. I mean, but no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's always a fun time going into regionals. Really good competition. And I mean, looking back at the past, we've had some tough situations where we've almost got knocked out. So it's always a fun time for sure. And it's probably the best time of year, honestly.
And 2 years ago, Brush had you on the ropes.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
we were at that game, did that game, and it was just a classic Eaton, we're not going to lose. We just come back, and you guys rallied and obviously go on to win the state championship. But, you know, we are looking forward, you know, Walker, to, you know, so many more games. I have so many more questions that we can't get to. We'll do this again because, you know, I know summer's coming up, a lot of things on your plate that we'd love to get some information from you. But we just want you to enjoy your senior season and remaining season of baseball. So let's just leave it at that and say thanks for joining us today on Coach Speak.
I appreciate it, Coach. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll be out watching, my friend. Take care. That is Walker Martin, the fine shortstop of the Eaton Reds. We'll take a break and come back and wrap up Coach Speak after these messages. Welcome back to Coach Speak. I want to thank again Chris Abshire for joining us. Great talking to him, and of course Walker Martin. Thank our friends out at Gould Parts. Deal with their local team to get the parts for whatever job comes your way. Gould Parts in Eaton, Colorado. A lot of great events coming up this weekend in the high school scene. A lot of baseball games. Check maxpreps.com if you want to see where your local high school team plays. But a lot of action coming up tomorrow, Saturday, as Chris Abshire talked to us about. Again, thanks to Walker Martin, the national leader in home runs over at Eaton High School. The Reds are 19-0 thus far, leading the Patriot League and having a terrific year. It's lunchtime. Get over to A&W. This month they have their barbecue bacon crunch burger, the crispy onions, bacon, and barbecue, and the lemonade shake. You know, we talk about that root beer freeze all the time, but this month get over and check out that lemonade shake. Boy, sounds good. But so many great things going on in Northern Colorado. Have a great weekend.